When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
All right, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Start of the third period. Penguins lead the Maple Leafs 5-2. Flyers up 4-1 on the Blue Jackets. In the second period, Ottawa leading Buffalo 4-2. Canadians up 3-1 on the Red Wings. No score, Devils and Blues. Early second period, Hurricanes and Predators in a 1-1 tie. As I mentioned earlier, the Predators and the Jets, the best non-playoff teams in the Western Conference, both 5 points behind Edmonton. So Predators in a 1-1 tie with the Hurricanes in the second period. Also in the second, the Jets trailing the Kings 1-0. It's a shoulder issue for Oscar Klefbom. He will miss 2 to 3 weeks. McDavid came back to Edmonton today, but probably still at least a week away from playing. Neil, a couple weeks away at least. Chris Russell still in concussion protocol. Nygaard still getting through the broken arm. Cassian suspended for 5 more games. So a lot of players out for the Oilers. Another tough one tomorrow against Boston. 5 o'clock faceoff show. Game starts at 6:30. A little bit of an earlier start. 6:30 start tomorrow at Rogers Place. Some trades happening today. Brendan Dillon to Washington. San Jose gets picks. Marco Scandella to St. Louis. Montreal gets picks. And Dylan DeMello to Winnipeg. Ottawa gets a third rounder in 2020. Trade deadline is Monday at 1. As we are you bringing them in from there, Kellen? As we have Bob Stauffer standing by. Bob, thanks for checking in tonight, buddy. How are you doing?
Good, Reed. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the time to join me. I know you got some stuff going on this evening, but, man, a little bit of movement today, some over the weekend. I'm already starting to wonder if it could be a very quiet actual deadline day on Monday the 24th.
Well, I think we saw a run on defensemen today. You know, most managers will tell you you probably need 8, 9, or even 10 defensemen. Think back to Calgary in 2004. You know, they had guys in their only two NHL games that they played were, you know, for the Calgary Flames in the playoffs because they were down to their 10th or 11th D-man. And again, with the Buffalo Sabres in 2006, I mean, if they didn't run out of defensemen, Edmonton's playing Buffalo in the final instead of playing Carolina. So, because they had, I think, 5 injured defensemen at one point during the course of that series. So we're definitely seeing a run on D-men. And I know what's coming next, which is the obvious question. And that's what's going on with the Edmonton Oilers. And I would say nothing at this stage. So,
and you know, Rob and I have gotten questions about Adam Larson after games. Do you trade him? A caller the other day wanted to trade Chris Russell, and Rob made that exact point. If Caleb Jones keeps playing well and Klefbom's going to come back, what a luxury it would be to have Chris Russell able to jump into the lineup in a playoff situation if it gets to that. I wonder here what the Oilers are going to do. I haven't seen anything about a call-up, Bob, unless I missed something in the last few minutes. Are we going to see Pearson or somebody like that up just to have another D-man around?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, there's two ways to do it. Like, look, let's establish that what's happening here with Klefbom is similar to what happened with Nugent Hopkins after the Oilers got the weekend sweep in Vegas and Arizona, and Ryan missed about 6 games there. So it, you know, there's a little procedure that gets done, helps alleviate some of the pain, allows the guy to play through it the rest of the season. Hopefully that's the case. And the thought process, I believe, is get it done right now. And maybe you've already explained that on the show. My apologies if you have. So in other words, what I'm saying to you is, in 2 weeks, I expect Oscar Klefbom back in the lineup. The Oilers are so up against it against the cap that, you know, there might be an argument to be made, Reed, that you take your chances here. You don't call anybody up for the 2 games. And then if you have to emergency recall when we're down in Los Angeles, Anaheim, and Vegas, it's a quick flight or a quick drive away, and you can emergency recall for the day. Because that doesn't affect you with call-ups down the road. once you get to the trade deadline, you got a clear day roster. You got so many players up and so many players. You're only allowed 4 recalls on that clear day roster once you paper guys through. So I'm sure Ken Holland and Keith Gretzky and Bill Scott are sort of factoring in the different options. I realize most of the fans would sit there and say, well, you got to bring up a seventh defenseman. Based on what I've watched in Bakersfield, there's only one defenseman to recall, and it's probably not the guy a lot of fans, you know, they want to be very patient and deliberate with the Evan Bouchard, but the other two guys, Persson and Brandon Manning, you know, Sam Marukov's clearly not an option. He's not even close to being ready. Keegan Lowe's a veteran guy. I guess you could bring him up as a seven. That might be an option. But I wonder whether or not Bouchard might be the guy if they do go that route, if they end up recalling somebody.
Yeah, somebody, a texter asked about him, and I said, I don't know, just because, I mean, ideally they want him down there the whole year, right? But again, maybe if it's just for a couple games, he comes up and either doesn't play or plays on the third pair. That is an interesting name to watch for sure. Quickly here, just some thoughts on tomorrow's game. I mean, the Oilers are beat up. Boston is a great team. The Oilers played a really good game against them a few weeks ago. You know, 3-1 without McDavid is good. But man, Bob, the longer you go without some of these top players, the tougher it's going to get.
The longer you go, the more it buys time with Connor McDavid potentially not feeling like he has to rush back and be a savior for the team. But Reed, make no mistake, the Edmonton Oilers are going to be playing Boston's number one goalie. It's going to be Tuukka Rask tomorrow. It's not going to be Yaroslav Halak. Don't forget, they got what I would suggest one, possibly two pretty weak goals against Halak in that 4-1 Saturday afternoon victory. Only the second regulation loss for Boston at home at that stage of the season. And they're going to have 6 guys that played in that game, including the entire first line, but combined for the insurance goal, the 3-1 goal, out. Right? We've already discussed with David Cassian suspended, no James Neal. Nygaard was in the lineup, had a breakaway in that game, had a couple real good scoring opportunities, and Klefbom and Russell both played. So 6 guys that were in the lineup. This is, I'll tell you right now, if they win that game tomorrow night against Boston, Reed, you start thinking about, this thing's going to happen. And I know the sport club stats, and you quote that. David suggests this thing's going to happen. But you win that one tomorrow night, and I think it's a sign that you're building something with your team.
Bob, I know you got stuff going on, buddy. Thanks for checking in. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Call anytime, Reed. See you. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Bob Stauffer, Oilers Now host, noon to 2 every day on 630 CHED. So Bob's a little bit more on the possibility of Bouchard coming up than I am. We'll see how that shakes down. He did explain they could ride these next 2 games out with 6D. And then if you go to California and need somebody, you could sneak in an emergency recall. You're obviously much closer to Bakersfield. And I know a lot of you as fans love trade suggestions. And if you've been listening to me for any length of time, I'm not a big fan of trade suggestions in general. I'm certainly more willing to talk about them at this time of year when we're leading up to the deadline. But again, the big issue for the Oilers is they have virtually no cap space. You know, I'm seeing stuff floating around on Twitter. Well, trade Puljujärvi and a pick for Tatar. You can't legally do that. You know, Tatar is, and even if you try to bury contracts in the minors, part of them still count against your cap. So very, very difficult for the Oilers to bring in a player of any significance. Elliot Friedman did report, and this was interesting, that the Oilers, the one player they might have given up the first-round pick for was Blake Coleman out of New Jersey, because he's already has 21 goals on the season and he's signed for next year at only $1.8 million. So that's a pretty inexpensive. I mean, even if he came to the Oilers and got 15 next year, that's pretty good. And he could certainly help down the stretch, but he was then traded to Tampa Bay anyway. But Friedman did say that's the one player the Oilers might give up a first-rounder for. Ken Holland, when did he do that scrum? Last week, I think? Yeah, when he announced the McDavid injury, and he was asked about trading the first-round pick, and he said, well, what if we miss the playoffs? Jim on line 1, 780-496-0063. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You answered a lot of my questions, but getting back to Kovalchuk?
Sure.
He's only $1 million a year, isn't he?
He's only $750,000. That's the one player you could find a way to fit him in, and he's been doing okay with the Canadiens. and maybe you wouldn't have to give up a huge price for him. I mean, I don't know if you heard, Jim, Bob and I were talking about, somebody asked about Max Domi on the weekend. So Bob and I talked about it, and Bob said the Canadians would want Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I mean, nobody wants to trade the Nuge, right?
No.
For
no,
Kovalchuk...
That won't happen.
Maybe, like Kovalchuk, you know, maybe if Montreal decides... If Montreal decides that they're going to sell, and I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, they're fourth last in the East. They're 8 points out of a playoff spot.
They need a little toughness too, don't they?
Us or the Canadians?
The Canadians.
So who are you thinking going the other way?
I'd say a second-round pick and Kara.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Hey, you guys... are great, and I'm listening to you every night so I can get you on the air from BC.
Oh, awesome. Well, we appreciate that, Jim. Enjoy the games.
Yeah, and I'll be calling again sometime.
Okay. Look forward to that for sure. That is Jim, 780-496-0063. Also, one of the you might be the longest-serving regular caller ever since I started hosting the show, Jared. What's on your mind?
I was going to call in a while back just about the Edmonton-Calgary rivalry, and I took some time to tabulate some very interesting statistics in terms of like penalty minutes.
Okay.
And I'll just give it to you quickly. In the last 81 games Edmonton has played Calgary, this goes from 2006 to the very last game.
Okay.
Where Mike Smith was fighting. There have been 53 fights and 2,365 penalty minutes.
Okay.
In the first 10 years, from 1981 to 1991, there was 124 fights and 6,046 penalty minutes. So almost pretty close to almost three times as much. The main thing that's interesting is that in the first 10 years, there was 9 line brawls.
Right.
And there was 15 games that had 100 penalty minutes or more.
Okay.
And there was 5 games that had 200 penalty minutes or more. And in like the last 81 games, there's the only game that's had over 100 penalty minutes was the last one. So I thought those were fairly interesting statistics. And we just went through the game. And the only thing I just want to say about Leon Draisaitl, it does get annoying because when I'm working out, I see like some of the East Coast commentary on TV. And I don't know what it is about Leon Draisaitl or why he doesn't get the credit, but I called in earlier this year and I said the Oilers have the two best players in the world. And Leon Draisaitl, to me, is the MVP. And every aspect of his game, except for his little dry spell in December, and I kind of think that a lot of the mistakes he makes is possibly because he tries too hard. But all of the aspects of his game, the face-off, the defensive zone, he can kill penalties. He's doing it all. So I don't know how anyone can make the comment like those analytics guys, like some of the stuff I heard early on the show, that doesn't even make sense, right?
Yeah.
You're not even watching the game at that point. But for me, Leon is the hard. If they can get through this stretch where Connor's out and they're still in the playoffs, I think he will win the MVP, barring that the Oilers do make the playoffs. But it's unfortunate for Leon because he's a fantastic hockey player. He can do everything out there, and he just continues to get better.
Jared, good to hear from you. Thanks for those penalty stats. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, I took a little bit of time, but I kind of found it very interesting.
Okay, see you, Jared. 780-496-0063. Mike, I'll get to your phone call after a quick timeout here. Inside Sports on Chet. And Bruins tomorrow. Oilers home to the Wild on Friday. Quick two-game homestand for Edmonton. Also want to let you know the Golden Bears hockey team will play UBC in a best-of-three Canada West semifinal. UBC upsetting Mount Royal to advance. So that's going to be Friday at 7, Saturday at 7, and if necessary, Sunday at 7. Best-of-three series. Golden Bears heavily favored going into that one. We have Mike holding on line one. Mike, thank you for calling.
Hey, Reed, just a quick question for you. With all these guys on injured reserve, I'm just wondering how long it takes before they get to the point where we do actually get a little bit of cap relief from them. Thank you very much. A long-time listener. Have a good day.
Yeah, appreciate it, Mike. Well, basically, I mean, yeah, you have to put... If you really want cap relief that you can bank on having, you have to put someone on long-term injured reserve. So, you know, you get some temporary cap relief if somebody is on injured reserve, but you can't bank on having that for a long time. Mike is still on the line. Mike, does that answer your question?
Yes, you bet.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you can't just say, you know, you got a whole bunch of money that you can go spend. Like, there is that one example from a few years ago where Patrick Kane got hurt really bad. So the Hawks put him on long-term injured reserve. And then in the playoffs, they were technically over the salary cap because they acquired all these other guys. And then when Kane was activated, the salary cap doesn't exist in the playoffs. But for the Oilers, it doesn't look like anybody's going to be hurt long enough where they could get significant relief. Does that make sense?
Gotcha, because that's the one that was sticking out in my mind, too.
Yeah. No, that's a good question for sure. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Okay, that is Mike, 780-496-0063. Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at Cap Friendly, and they have the Oilers at just over $1 million for the cap they would have at the trade deadline. So... yeah, I mean, like I said, I know it's not what a lot of you want to hear. It's going to be tough to bring in somebody. And I know, okay, well, move out Kara, move out Gagne. But you got to remember, do other teams really want those players? And that's nothing against those type of players. But if you're another NHL team, you have your version of Sam Gagne or Jujhar Kara, right? And if you have your version of Gagne, you're probably already paying him less than what Gagne is actually being paid. So... that's, you know, and again, you know, Gagne's done well in his role. Kara's clearly had a tough year. So I don't know if other teams are looking at the Oilers roster and saying, oh, yeah, that's who I want. I mean, they're not going to go out of their way to help the Oilers. But could maybe try to get a depth defenseman somewhere, especially with some injuries here. And as Bob was talking about, I'm sure everybody remembers the 06 playoffs because of what the Oilers did. But, yeah, Buffalo was down to their 11th D in the conference final against Carolina. So the Oilers could want a little bit of security there. They would love to get a winger to play with McDavid. I don't know if that happens here. Maybe you could get a bit of a depth forward that has a little more dimension than some of the Oilers' current depth forward have. But... the Oilers aren't getting a star gunner here to come in. And I don't think Ken Holland sees the team in the position where he would want to get a rental. I mean, how close... the Oilers are a good team. Are they a great team? I don't think so. I mean, even if they get in the playoffs and continue playing well, I don't think they're a Stanley Cup favorite. But hey, make the tournament, who knows what happens. This portion of the show presented by Furnace Family. Experience the Furnace Family difference. Your furnace replacement specialist with over 500 five-star Google reviews. Call 7804-FAMILY or visit FurnaceFamily.com. Eskimos receiver Jimmy Ralph in the next half hour. Pittsburgh up 5-2 on Toronto. Last minute of the third. Philly's going to beat Columbus. Flyers are up 5-1. 4 minutes left in Ottawa. Senators lead the Sabres 5-4. Early in the third in Detroit, Montreal has a 3-1 lead. Shea Weber back in action for that game. Jeff Petrie has scored his 9th of the season. Late second period, St. Louis leading New Jersey 1-0. 3 minutes left in the second period. Hurricanes leading the Predators 3-1. And after 2, Winnipeg leading the Los Angeles Kings 3-1. Oilers and Bruins tomorrow. Oscar Klefbom will miss 2 to 3 weeks. Shoulder issue. Here's head coach Dave Tippett.
Klef's been dealing with this for a little bit. And apparently got to the point where we wanted to have a look at it. And He's got a little procedure done. It's going to be out 2 weeks for sure, maybe a little bit more, but certainly a big hole. It takes a lot of minutes, but just like the rest of our injuries right now, it's next man up, and we've got some young defensemen that have been looking for more opportunity, and they're going to get more now, so we'll see how they do.
So at practice today, Caleb Jones was with Adam Larson. Lagesson, who's been a healthy scratch, was with Matt Banning, and Nurse and Bear remain together. Some guests on Inside Sports get gift certificates to Northern Chicken, bringing down South comfort food to Edmonton with their creative take on Southern classics spun with a modern twist. Mike Smith, the expected starter in goal tomorrow against Boston, and obviously up front, the Oilers still missing McDavid, Neal, Cassian, Nygaard, Chris Russell still out on the back end. The Oilers able to do pretty well on the road trip. The big line, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto led the way. You had some other good contributions. And of all the depth signings that Ken Holland made in the offseason, the two that have really worked out are Riley Sheahan and Josh Archibald. Archibald signed in July. Sheahan wasn't signed until September, and I know some people were skeptical, and I get it. Hey, if he's a free agent all summer, how good can he be? He's helped the penalty kill. He's a decent skater. He's finished a few scoring opportunities. He's not a great offensive player. Archibald is just like a little wrecking ball out there, doesn't play with any fear at all, and he's shown that he can finish some opportunities. He finished two of them in Carolina on Sunday. Dave Tippett on that duo.
Well, they've been really good. Like, they're good pros. They come up, they show, they put the work in every day. We put young Benson with them the last two games, and he's been really, really good. You know, they've really helped him along. So they're good pros that understand their role and understand how hard they have to work and understand their contribution to help us win. And, they show up every day with the work boots on and real good guys to have on your team.
Tyler Benson, I think, has really benefited the last couple of games by playing with Shannon Archibald. They're reliable players. Archibald has a little bit of finish, and he helped Benson get that first career assist.
Benson clogged the zone, fed Archibald. Rich shot, score! And Edmonton strikes twice in a span of 28 seconds. Draisaitl with Aho back. Joining is Archibald. Centering pass, Archibald. Rich shot, score! Archibald wins the game! 4-3 Edmonton in overtime!
Jack Michaels with the call. Archibald with his fourth career two-goal game and his first career overtime winner against the Hurricanes, and he was talking to Jack about those big weekend wins.
A big confidence boost for the team. You know, yeah, we are missing a lot of guys, but it just came down to heart and the will to win. We battled hard, we played simple, we stuck to our game plan, and we were lucky enough to come out on top. Schmitty made some great saves, and Dratt and their line did some work again for us that night, and it was a huge win for us. Everybody's fighting for the playoffs. Look at fifth place to first place, 2 points, so it's going to be a tight race all the way down, and we need every win we can get.
It seems like the Oilers have played some hellacious overtimes. That overtime had just about everything, the back-to-back saves, and then your second coming at the other end.
Yeah, it was crazy, but like I said after the game, when Smitty pulls out like that and makes two great saves for us, we got to do something for him, and Drap made a great play to me, and I was lucky enough to get a stick on it and get it in.
I was going to say, if there's one guy you want to have it on his back end in that situation, Leon would be the guy, correct?
Yeah, that guy can pass better on his backhand than a lot of guys can on their forehand, so it's definitely the guy you want to have on the puck. So
a word on Dave Tippett, the little things he's done. You're on the ice at the end of late games. Granny hasn't been here in 2 months. He's on there in a tight spot late in the game. Tyler Benson, his third game the other night, he's on the ice with 2 minutes to go. It seems like your coach has made a conscious effort to kind of bring everyone into this mix.
Yeah, and I think he knows his players really well, what their strengths are. He knows who's playing well and the type of game, the type of player that we need to throw out in certain situations. And I think he's done a great job for us all year long. You know, he's brought a team together here, and we've been playing as, you know, as more of a team now than ever. So it's really good, especially with some of the guys we've had out. But, you know, he's done a tremendous job, and he's a great coach, and we're lucky to have him right now.
He was saying, similarly to putting Yamamoto when Drysdale and Nuge were starting to get going, that's why he put Benson with you and Riley, because you're in a really good patch right now. When your coach uses you as an example, I imagine that's an extra shot of confidence.
Yeah, it definitely is, and I think confidence is a big thing in this time of the year. You want to have confidence so you can make plays and help the team out in any way. But yeah, you know, she and I have been playing together for the majority of the year, and I think you know, just the chemistry that we've got together right now, and you know, to be able to bring Benson in, and he's a good skill player, and I mean, he showed that. He should have 3 or 4 points now, you know, a couple goals, a couple assists. You know, the goalies have made great saves, or defense have had good blocks, but you know, he's a player's player too, and he's good. So I mean, he's been a good fit for us right now.
Finally, I'll go back to another busy stretch where he played real good hockey, came out of it, and then there was a little bit of a lull, Arizona, and then the home game against San Jose. Very kind of similar scenario, at least to me, from the outside. Emotional wins, great wins.
We've got some confidence behind us. We got everybody's playing. I think we just got to, you know, keep things simple. You know, you don't want to go too high. You don't want to be too low. So just got to stay even keel. Obviously, it was a great win, but we just got to, you know, keep the momentum going. Basically, battle through every shift, every game we can right now.
All right, a little bit there from Josh Archibald. A couple big goals from him against Carolina on Sunday, and an epic call by Jack Michaels. No doubt about that. Inside Sports on 630 Ched. We'll connect with Jimmy Ralph in a few minutes. Just some other notes. I mentioned Golden Bears hockey this weekend. Golden Bears basketball is at home. The playoff format in Canada West basketball continues to be absurd. I'm not going to go too far down that road tonight. But basically, the Golden Bears host Lethbridge at the Saville Saturday at 2 in a quarterfinal. Two other teams are also playing here in Edmonton. And then they'll play in a semifinal on Sunday. There are four other teams playing in Calgary, and the winner of that mini-tournament will play the winner of this mini-tournament for the Canada West Championship. Well, there, I pretty much did explain it. Anyway, Golden Bears and Pandas volleyball, both home in Canada West playoff series, Thursday through Saturday, both playing Saskatchewan. It'll be the men at 6, women at 8 at the Saville Center. Excellent Canada West volleyball. I wish I had more opportunities to go see the Bears and Pandas play, so keep that in mind. Kellen, did you see the CFL note today from Randy Ambrosi?
I have not. What's
okay,
up?
So, well, we talked last week about how baseball is sort of considering this proposal where you could pick your first-round playoff opponent, right?
Okay, yep.
So Randy Ambrosi is floating this idea. You would still have the East and West divisions in the CFL. The two first-place teams at the end of the regular season would get a bye and would host the league semifinals.
Fair enough,
wouldn't be the division finals necessarily. Then teams 3 through 6 would be seeded 3 through 6 with no regard to division.
Okay.
And then once those two games are played, the number one seed would pick their opponent for the semifinal. And then the second place team would get whoever was left over.
Okay, so say 3 beats 4,
three beats six. And 4 beats 5.
Yeah.
The first place team would get to choose between 3 and 4.
Oh.
Which I don't like as much in football because it's single elimination and there are fewer teams in the playoffs. In the baseball thing, I don't mind it. The baseball thing doesn't bother me much. I don't know if I would like it in the CFL. I like that he's somewhat getting away from a pure East-West Grey Cup. You know what I say? One division, just have a league, 9 teams, top 6 make the playoffs, top 2 get a bye, host the semis, play that off, go to the Grey Cup.
I like that a lot more, yes. I like your way. Yeah.
Well, finally, somebody agrees with one of my
ideas. I agree with you.
Mark that down, everybody. Jimmy Ralph, one of the new Edmonton Eskimos, former U of A Golden Bear, when we get back. Get more on Oscar Klefbom on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. 2 weeks, maybe up to 3, with the shoulder injury. Connor McDavid coming back to Edmonton today. He was in Toronto. He is not going to play tomorrow. I know a couple people have said, oh, what if? No, he's not going to play tomorrow as he continues to get over the quad injury. So, CFL free agency started last week, and the Eskimos have netted Canadian receiver Jimmy Ralph, who knows all about playing in Edmonton and has a family history with the Edmonton Eskimos. Jimmy, welcome back to Inside Sports. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Reed. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. Welcome to Edmonton. Welcome to the Edmonton Eskimos. You signed as a free agent last week, and it was kind of a interesting few days for you. The whole experience of free agency, ending your tenure with the Argos, and then finding a new team. Let's start with sort of how things wound down for you as a Toronto Argo.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting situation. This is my first time being a free agent. So, I mean, you finished the season. It didn't go well for us in Toronto last year. And so, you're going into your free agent's off season. So you assume you're a free agent, but then you realize you're not a free agent until February. So it's kind of a waiting period where you just kind of focus on your goals and, try and work and try and forget about all that. But then when the new year starts, you kind of know what's coming up. And then, so it's kind of an interesting phase. I've never really dealt with that as a pro. So I'm kind of happy to be able to make my decision and make Edmonton home and now focus on the thing I love, which is football.
When you actually become a free agent, tell me a little bit about, do you talk to teams? Did you have an agent representing you? Did you ever feel sort of rushed to make a decision? I mean, to take a sort of how an athlete deals with this, because it's a very interesting process, and sometimes it's unique for each player.
Yes, I had an agent, so I worked with Rob Fry. He's a well-recognized CFL agent. He did some great work for me, and I also have connections with my brothers. My brothers have played in this league for a few years as well, so a lot of familiar faces that I had some connections there. But yeah, like I said, you really don't become a free agent as of last week when they could start talking to us. So, you hear rumblings and things like that, but nothing's made official or there's no phone calls made until last week, and so then they kind of start coming and you kind of wait for the bigger names and the bigger prospects to go first, and then you kind of weigh that out and talk with your agent, and in my situation with my parents and my brothers and people that are familiar with the business side of things, and kind of made a decision to make Edmonton home. So it was a fun process. Like I said, I love the football side of things more than the business side, so I'm happy to be done it, but it was fun to kind of go through that and make that decision with my family, and it worked out great.
Now, did the fact that you lived in Edmonton a few years ago when you were a U of A Golden Bear, does that at all factor in your decision? I know your university life is separate than your pro life, but it's not like you're coming to a city that you're totally unfamiliar with. So how much of an impact did having been a Golden Bear play into this?
Well, I think it definitely played its role, but going into off season, I kind of thought, what do I want to make the priorities in making my decisions? And I'd always wanted to be close to home, but I wasn't going to make a decision based solely on that. I'm in a position where, I'm waiting for an opportunity to let my talent show. And in Toronto, they gave me a lot of opportunities, but I was ready to make that next step. So I wanted to find a place that was comfortable for me, obviously location-wise, but I wanted to be in a good football situation where I had opportunities to make plays and help my team win. And so, that was kind of where I went. But as I started making the decisions and narrowing the process down, I realized that Edmonton was there, and then just being close to home, going to school here. My brother played here as a pro numerous times for years, so it was just a comfortable situation that when it came down to it, I could make that decision and have some peace of mind after I made the decision. So, yeah, Edmonton was where, I'd loved growing up watching as a fan. I was a Stampeder and an Eskimo fan, both my brothers playing, but Edmonton's probably, I'm more comfortable with the city than I would be Calgary, even though it's closer to where I'm from, being from Southern Alberta.
How much do you remember, I think you're 12 or 13 years apart, how much do you remember Brock being an Edmonton Eskimo?
Oh, I for sure remember that. I remember I was probably in grade 4, 5, 6 when he first started, and I was all in. I knew every player on the team. I followed that team. They were good then, too. They were kind of it was them in Montreal. That was with Ricky Ray. And, I was all in. I could have named every player, every number. And it's funny because you see familiar faces on the coaching staff now with, Winston October. I remember him returning balls as a kid, taking long returns to the house, and, Demetrius Maxey's there, AJ Gass. So guys that I, grew up watching. And so see my brother, and then, you know, Ricky Ray. I mean, that's what I think of when I think Edmonton Eskimos as a kid. It's Ricky Ray leading the way, and then I ended up getting to share a Grey Cup experience and a championship with him. And so it's crazy how things kind of come full circle, and here I am in this position. It's kind of a dream come true.
Jimmy Ralph joining us on Inside Sports. Receiver, signed with the Eskimos last week, coming back to Edmonton, used to play for the U of A Golden Bears. So tell me a little bit about Scott Milanovich. You know, this was a coach who was in the CFL, very highly regarded. He went to the NFL for a few seasons. Now he's back in Edmonton. You know, I know you never played for him before, but clearly he comes with a very good reputation. What, have you been able to talk to him? What, you know, do you know any little bit about how, what your role in the offense is going to be? I'm just curious your initial impressions, or if Milanovich being here factored into your decision at all.
Oh, yeah, like, I'd heard of Scott Milanovich. Obviously, he's been around the league for years, and the thing that made me comfortable, I'd never met him before, and I still haven't yet, to the facilities, and he's out of town at the moment, but the thing that made me comfortable is I grew up, my first few years in the league, I was under Coach Mark Trestman, and I think that they run similar offenses, and I think Scott Milanovich learned under him and kind of branched and made his own offense based off of what he learned from Coach Trestman, so... You know, that kind of helped me in making my decision as well, just knowing that I'm familiar with kind of, you know, the verbiage and the language that we talk as an offense, and just kind of get a head start that way. But I'm looking forward to meeting him because, I mean, the league's a small league, and we get to know each other and we talk. And when I signed with Edmonton, I'd had calls from numerous guys that have played under Scott Milanovich, and they spoke highly of him, and they said, you know, he's going to love you, and he's great at assessing talent and using guys to the best of their abilities. And so, you know, that just made me excited because that was confirming things that I'd heard, you know, previously, just being under Coach Trestman and knowing that, you know, he'd gone down to the States and done his NFL stint at that time. But just hearing good things, you know, that also made us a little more comfortable.
Jimmy, what's the next step for you as a player? You know, you had some pretty respectable stats last season. You know, you're coming into a pretty good receiving core. Everybody always wants the ball, right? But what's where do you want to see your game go this year?
I think I'm, you know, I'm going into my fourth year now, and I had some great opportunities and playing time in my first 3 years with Toronto, but I think I'm just ready to take that next step to take a bigger role as a receiver. I think I haven't had a ton of targets, as many as I'd like, but, you know, I was doing my job and to the best of my abilities, and I take pride in just being a consistent guy that, you know, is reliable with his hands and, you know, does what a receiver's supposed to do, is move those chains and do that and just be consistent and every day work hard and hope that things just fall in place. So I guess I'm just ready to take on a bigger role. I feel like I've matured as a pro and kind of learned a lot of things, and I got a lot more to learn. But, yeah, just taking that next step. And I think if I go into camp and do what I can and keep my off-season plans intact, then I think I'll be in a good situation to help this team win another Grey Cup, because this is the city of championships and city of champions, and that's what they want here, and that's what I want to deliver. So, if they give me that next role, I'm ready to take that and run with it and have success in the city.
Okay, and final question. You're from Alberta. You mentioned your family. You mentioned you're going to be a little closer to your family. Have you worked out how many tickets you're going to be getting per game? Have all of a sudden the Ralph family been flooding the Eskimos office with calls to buy season tickets or single game tickets? What's going on there?
Well, it's going to be interesting because, you know, when I was in Toronto and I come out to Edmonton, everybody wanted to come watch the game. So I had to round up, you know, 20-some tickets, sometimes even more than that. So maybe it'll slow down now that they can see me a little more. They might get sick of me, and I might only have to get a few. But if it's anything like it's been, I'm going to have them get some season tickets.
All right. Well, Jimmy, it's great to have you on the show. And, really good signing here for the Eskimos. Good move for you. I can tell you're excited, and we're looking forward to talking to you throughout the season as well. Thanks a lot for your time tonight.
Thanks so much, Reed. Have a great day.
That's Jimmy Ralph from your Edmonton Eskimos. Final look at the scoreboard. Penguins beat Toronto 5-2. Flyers down the Blue Jackets 5-1. Start of the third, Ottawa up 5-4 on Buffalo. 6 minutes left. It's now 3-3 Canadians and Red Wings. Early third, St. Louis up 1-0 on New Jersey. Also early in the third, Hurricanes leading Nashville 3-1. 12 minutes left in Winnipeg. Jets lead the Kings 4-2. Klefbom, the latest injured Oiler, 2 to 3 weeks. Shoulder, Oilers Bruins tomorrow. 5 o'clock faceoff show here on 630 CHED. Play-by-play at 6:30. I will talk to you then.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.